Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawbona. In Senegal, nangadef. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jodi Toussaint. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
So I'm going to do the joint rolling, and then I'll go into the...
Hi, I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms.
And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
This is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Grand Rising, and thank you all for joining us on this Friday edition of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, and we're joined by our sister of the microphone, Viata, who's on the road, and today we are going to talk about good health news and the power of words to heal. So before we get started, we're going to do a bit of joint rolling, and we're going to see if you can be a part of this process as we prepare to limber up those muscles and then bring you some good health news that you can use. So first of all, we're going to start in the standing position. And before we get started, let's bring on Viata to give us a little bit of insight about today's topic. Yes, Grand Rising.
Grand Rising, Sister Queen. Thank you for filling in for me. This is my last day in Lakeland, Florida, as a monitor for the debris cleanup from Hurricane Ian. It's really amazing how much leaves and branches and tree stumps. I mean, I've seen some huge tree trunks on the side of the road and picked them up. I mean, the trees got rooted out but mostly trimmed tree pruning went on during Hurricane Ian's visit to Florida. So some very powerful lessons that I'll share with the audience today about trees and their ability to heal us, but sometimes they need to be pruned. And I think that's the way I feel about all of us. We are like trees, and we have the energy within us to help our brothers and sisters heal from whatever illnesses, diseases, or pain they're going through, but we need to be pruned to flow, for that energy, that healing energy to flow. And that's what I found as I walked around with my little phone and my printer waiting for these trucks to finish their job. I would put my right leg started hurting me because of all the driving I've been doing, I guess. And I would stop, Naima, and just put my foot on the back of the tree. Or I would take mid my knee, put my foot on the tree, and that pain was going away. And
wow.
Then I'd have to move to another site, and then I would just sit at the tree because all I have to do is watch the truck. And I would sit on the tree with my back on the tree, and I could almost feel the energy of that tree aligning my back so that today I feel refreshed, renewed, because all day yesterday I was just connecting to trees and putting my hands, hugging the trees and putting my feet on the trees. And this stuff works out here. That's why nature and our brother Kwame Sunhorse is always reminding us to get out in nature, get out. And it's just being proven in my life right now for the last 2 weeks how powerful these trees are and how they – but we need pruning. We need to prune our trees in order for that energy to flow, and it's really flowing now. So that's kind of my introduction to being outside 24 hours or 12 hours every day for the last 2 weeks. And really experiencing the power of the tree to heal.
Wow, that is so fascinating. And there are definitely some analogies about, pruning and what we need to do with ourselves so that we can get rid of the dead things hanging on us that are draining our energy, just like you have to do with trees. Yes, yes. Well, we...
we're going to talk about the power of words today because I've seen how people's words are harming them. Their words are harming not only themselves, but their whole community. I witnessed that yesterday. I'll share that after the joint rolling, but it was really powerful to see how quick a woman's words had an effect on her community.
Wow. And, you know, scientists have been able to actually document how words can create a physiological change in the cells in your body. So words are energy, and if you know the power of your words, then you're much more sensitive about what you say. You know, they say sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt. Yes, they can. Yes, they can. They most definitely can hurt. They can destroy, or they can build. They can empower. And if you've ever, if you've ever had someone verbally abuse you, and you suddenly felt low energy and sad and depressed, you know the power of that. And if you've had someone give you words of praise and accolades, and you just felt on top of the world, felt euphoric, you know, you can experience it both ways, the power of words to either heal or hurt. So, well, we want you all to be relaxed. Take a deep breath. I'm going to start from a standing position. And this song gives us a nice long workout. But remember, it's all about healing the mind, body, and spirit. And this vessel that contains our spirit, it needs to be revitalized with blood flow and oxygen flow. So make sure you remember to breathe as we move. And put a pleasant thought in your mind. Think of the last time someone said something to you that really brought you some joy. So we first want to get your vibration raised. Think of that time someone told you you were beautiful. Someone told you you were smart. Someone told you they loved you. I love you is one of the most powerful things you can say to a person to heal them. So this is all about healing. We want you to put that memory in your mind. Take a deep breath and get ready because it is time for healing.
Nation. the reason we mistreat each other, yeah.
I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima.
We're three black moms.
And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Alrighty, we are back and trying to look refreshed. Okay, so here we are. Going to give you a couple of bits of good health news and then talk about the power of words to heal. So, Viana, take it away. Let us get your words on some good health news. Let me see if I can pull up the first audio for our audience. And if you are listening online and want to join the conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak. And first thing we're going to share with you is words on be careful what you speak. And we want you to take a listen to this because so many of us, we speak rather carelessly. We don't really pay attention to the words coming out of our mouth and the power they have to create. And you are creating as you speak. You're creating a vibration and you're creating a physical reality with those words. So take a listen to this and reflect.
Your words, mixed with your beliefs, blend to become your reality. What you speak over your life is what your life will become. If you're always talking about how you're stuck where you are, how you can't find a way to get out of the situation you're in, how you never get any luck, how you'll never be wealthy, well, you're right. You'll never have those things if that's what you say and that's what you believe. If you don't believe it, you won't even try to get it.
Instead of saying, I don't know how to do it, say, I am committed to learn how to do it. Instead of saying, I always procrastinate and never get anything done, say, I am going to find something that matters to me more than anything, and then I am going to get the job done. Instead of saying, I'm a failure, say, I failed. I've learned the lesson, and when I become a huge success, that failure is going to make for one hell of a story. Instead of saying, my best days are behind me, say, my best is yet to come. Instead of believing others are born lucky or with special gifts, know that you are capable of anything. Know that you can study and commit to learning from great people. Know that you can become a great person in your own right. Every day, look yourself in the mirror and say, I am a great person. I am a kind person. I am strong. I am capable of anything. I am growing more each day. I am committed. I am determined. I have no limits. I can have the health and the body of my choice. I will have the health and the body of my choice. I can have the wealth of my choice. I will have the wealth of my choice. I do deserve abundance. I am worthy. I am more than worthy. I can make a huge difference in others' lives. I will make that difference. Gandhi once said, your beliefs become your thoughts. Your thoughts become your words. Your words become your actions. Your actions become your habits. Your habits become your values. Your values become your destiny. When you start blending your beliefs and your words together, they become so powerful you can move mountains. You are the creator of your destiny, and it starts with the words you speak into your life. Speak positive things into your life, strong things. Speak love and happiness into your life, and you'll notice more love and happiness. Speak good of others, and you may see more good from others. Speak your dreams into existence. Believe your dreams will become reality. Act and live as though they are, and they soon will be. Muhammad Ali said he would be the greatest, and he became the greatest. He had no doubt in his mind. That is the same level of certainty you should speak about your dreams. I am healthy. I am wealthy. I am wise. Opportunities are everywhere. Money flows with ease. Joy is everywhere. I am attracting such amazing people into my life. I am blessed. I am surrounded by blessings. I have more than enough. I am full of energy. I am strong. I am fit. I am such a positive influence to those around me. I have amazing friends. I am abundant. I am constantly growing my income. I am constantly growing myself. I am constantly getting healthier, stronger, and fitter. My relationships are getting stronger every day. More love and joy every day. Sticks and stones may break your bones, but your words can shatter your dreams. Your beliefs, thoughts, and words will, I guarantee you, determine your destiny. Whatever you believe is your limit is your limit. Every day, look yourself in the mirror and say, I am a great person. I am a kind person. I am strong. I am capable of anything. I am growing more each day. I am committed. I am determined. I have no limits. I can have the health and the body of my choice. I will have the health and the body of my choice. I can have the wealth of my choice. I will have the wealth of my choice. I do deserve abundance. I am worthy. I am more than worthy. I can make a huge difference in others' lives. I will make that difference.
Daily affirmations are helpful because they reprogram your mind, your thoughts, and beliefs. Some of the most successful people on earth practice daily affirmations. If you're doing it consistently, every single day, in the morning, before you start your day, you will begin to develop new beliefs, and your life will start to change before your eyes. If it's not natural at first, if you feel like the words aren't believable, stick with it. The goal is to feel as though you already have the things you want. As you speak the words, feel as though you are already that person. Whatever words work for you, write them down. Your own affirmation, and read them every day. That's the key. Repetition and feeling the words. If they get old, freshen them up to something more powerful and meaningful.
powerful. Well, we're going to take a quick break and come back, and we'll talk about what we just heard and maybe some of the blocks in our minds that won't allow us to say positive things to ourselves. I mean, how many people heard growing up, don't get the big head or whatever, you know, whatever makes you feel like you're not supposed to praise yourself or encourage yourself. Some of us still are carrying those blocks to positive affirmations. We feel like we don't deserve to say them. So we'll talk about that when we come back. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak. We've got a caller that's pressed 1. We will take off after the break and hear from our Friday host, Viata. So we'll be right back after this quick break, and we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment, so stay with us.
Taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor. So you want to know where to invest $1,000 right now? Well, forget about stocks, real estate, or cryptocurrency. There is a little-known trend taking America by storm right now.
Yes, there is. We'll talk about that later. But right now, let us share with you.
Oh, man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
About finances, family, health, jobs, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down to earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code TheFemaleSolution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
I'm Viata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
Global radio TV show. I'm Naima Latif, and we've got on our live line Viata, who's on the road down in Florida. So, Viata, before we take the first caller, you know, those were some powerful words spoken, but I remember growing up with words that constantly reiterate the idea of self-deprivation, you know, modesty, don't praise yourself, you know, don't sound arrogant, you know, you're never supposed to acknowledge that you're smart or pretty, you know, wait to be complimented by other people, you know, all of those concepts that would make a person feel guilty about uplifting words and affirmations to oneself. Is that something that, where does that come from? Why do we do that? Is that a cultural thing? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I grew up in a very critical home, I would say. My father and mother were probably more critical than praising, you know, you're doing a great job and you're awesome and all those nice words we heard on that audio. I wonder how many children experience that as children, their parents affirming them and helping them be their best. So mine was different criticism. So I see that in a lot of adults, that they are easily critical and judgmental. I have a couple of audios that I want you to hear about being judgmental. And I've been thinking a lot about the scripture that is in the New Testament that Christ spoke, that said, He who is without sin, throw the first stone. And I have just seen so many stones being thrown, especially at Kanye West and now Kyrie Irving, who are speaking truth, and people don't want to hear it. So we are in a really interesting time where we're learning to be more positive and realizing the consequences of not being positive. What happened to me yesterday was kind of shocking at how quickly it's like reaping and sowing karma took place when a woman was so impatient about the truck not moving for her. She was in her car and she came up behind the truck who I'm monitoring and watching, and she said, I gotta go to work, move that damn truck. And I'm like, okay, ma'am, he'll be done in like 5 minutes. So he's got to position the truck, and he was blocking the road partially because there was another car not parked correctly. And she was just going off cursing and then just yelling at the driver from her car. She didn't get out. And the driver's just doing his job. You know, he gets up on this high stand and moves the fork and picks up debris. And he finally saw her yelling and screaming, and he got down from the high chair and started to move and was ready to move the truck. And she yelled out, "You effing bitch." And I'm like, what? I'm like,
wow.
What in the world triggered a woman to call a man that? I hear that a lot, men being called the B word. And I'm like, what
I'm hearing men call men, women call men. I mean, that's just like, The worst
so what
insult
is the emotion behind that? I'm wondering, Naima, what's the emotion that triggers a woman in the hood, by the way, I must add that. It wasn't that way in the other neighborhoods. We were being given water, and people were coming out, "Thank you, I'm so grateful you're here," and, "Oh, well, it's okay, I'll wait." And then the hood, I get, "Ah, you F and B." And I'm like, what is the emotion being triggered that you have to curse out a man doing his job to help your community? And then right away, the result of her being a real bee herself, his boss called him like immediately saying, you need to end that job. And he didn't even know what was going on, his boss. He just at that time called him and says, time for you to move to and go to Sarasota, which has more business, blah, blah. So he comes to me and says, my boss just called me. I'm going to have to end this job and go to another location. I'm like, oh, okay, wow. So that meant I had to go back to the location and be inconvenienced. And the neighborhood did not get all their debris cleaned up. And I thought to myself as I'm driving back, I'm like, what triggered that?
Well, you know, that's definitely a demonstration of how the energy of words create our reality. And I was even listening to a video on that today, and I'll probably do that for my 555 address tomorrow morning, just talking about the power of what you speak, your thoughts, your feelings. The energy is creating a physical reality. So when you are full of anger and rage and then spewing out negative words, it is literally creating the physical reality that you experience. So you just saw that here, this woman, unappreciative, nasty, mean-spirited, and the reality she created is that your neighborhood doesn't get the service of the debris picked up because you showed such ingratitude and meanness towards someone doing this work for you.
Yeah. Interesting. So I do have an audio after, if you have callers, but there's a really interesting audio that's about the secret power of words, how words create worlds. And this guy goes into more detail about why, how you're creating your reality with your words. But you said we had
we'll take one caller and then we'll go to the audio, and then probably by then we'll be ready to take a break, and then we'll take the next caller, or we'll take the caller before the break, depending on how it works. But first let me go to 773-450, and then we'll take 773-221 after the audio. 773-450, Grand Rising, give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comment about today's topic.
Grand Rising, y'all. Y'all greetings. How are you all this morning?
Yes, Grand Rising. Thank you for calling today. What have you observed about the power of words to create a reality and change your mood, change your even state of health based on what people say?
It's a wonderful subject. I give the example in my own life. When I was in third grade, I had a school teacher, and she was very unusual because I guess you don't have those types of school teachers. But she, even though we were in third grade, she was telling us about projective thoughts and how you should speak life into existence. And so every morning, I would go look in the mirror and I'd say, you're getting better and better every day. And I would say that.
And can you, your sound is a little bit unclear. Is there a way you can raise your volume because your sound sounds a little muffled so we can hear you clearer?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I think it's a little better, whatever you did that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So what I was saying was that when I was growing up, I was in third grade. So it was kind of unusual because, I don't know, in third grade, you usually don't have these teachers that got mental projections. But she was teaching us mental projection. She said, you're supposed to speak well of yourself. So every day I get up in the morning, I look in the mirror, and I say, you're getting better, better every day. I skipped fourth grade totally, went straight to fifth grade. I totally skipped the grade. After I went into that mentality at third grade, I never went to fourth grade. They said, you're too smart for fourth grade. We'll just send you straight to fifth grade. It changed my life. Because when a child is moved from the, from a classroom with students he's grown up with, now he's moved up a grade with a bunch of people he doesn't even know. It took an adjustment initially, but all my life I've been at work that challenge. Ever since that happened, and it put me a grade ahead with older children, my whole life was adjusted. But I just think that's interesting because I always remember that she told us about mental projection in third grade, and I practiced it, skipped fourth grade. That's powerful, showing you how the power of words can change your life. Totally. I never went to fourth grade and have lived an exciting life as a kid. It's just interesting how something that small can even work with little children. Hallelujah. Keep practicing it, y'all.
And you know, that's why teachers need a big, big raise, because teachers demonstrate how powerful and influential teachers are in our lives. And I've had teachers just like that. Thank you for that testimony, because teachers need to be paid more. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, you know, there's another thing that needs to happen with
positivity anyway. It's best to put out positivity anyway, because it's just better. You know, you work it out and you find it, just like the things y'all said, there's a lot of things that happen when you open up your mind to the possibilities of anything can happen. So throw out the expectations that you may have, because life will be something where you will live beyond your expectations. How about that? Thanks so much.
Well, you know, that you pointed out a lot of things that affect a child's life, because just like your parents, if they are affirming and encouraging, that can steer the direction of your life. A teacher can steer the direction of your life. The adults that surround you, that are raising you, they are shaping your self-image. So another thing that needs to happen with teachers, a lot of teachers don't know this. Now, you are very fortunate to have a teacher that had this wisdom, and she was able to influence you at an early age. This is not something that's taught in teaching colleges. This is just who she was as a person. But so many teachers do not know how to encourage. As a matter of fact, they tend to use insults as a form of classroom management. When they get frustrated, they insult the children. They put them down. They say nasty things. They humiliate them. And the way they manage a classroom of 30 children is to have each child so terrified of being publicly embarrassed that they'll keep quiet and be obedient. That's the way they use to manage the classroom. That's the only way they know. But it's so destructive to a child's self-esteem. And I've watched teachers do this. And, you know, teachers might... they might get good performance in terms of maybe test scores or things like that, or maybe some of the students that perform well may stand out. But what they've done to some of the other students that may have a different kind of personality, maybe a little more talkative, maybe a little more active, they've destroyed their self-esteem. They've called them bad, unruly. They've said all kinds of things. They haven't been able to see that a child who is active just has a different personality. And so in their frustration and lack of skills on how to manage a large group of people of diverse personalities, they use insults. And this is commonly done. That's why school can become such a traumatic experience for children. Now, brother, I had the exact same experience that you had being promoted from third to fifth grade, and that also changed the whole trajectory of my life. And what happened after that, I won't get into it now, but you'll read about it in our upcoming book I'm writing with my sisters, Growing Up Charles. It's coming out soon, and we all, it's an autobiographical piece about our household experience and neighborhood experience, and I certainly go into what happened after that double promotion. And it's important that teachers understand how to encourage the younger students, and it's important that teachers know how to praise students who might be struggling in a classroom, because you have a lot of students that, you know, if they got low self-esteem coming from home, being called bad names, and they come to school and they're struggling, and then the teacher makes them feel worse, and then you have the smart student that's, you know, excelling, well, then that's when the students who have been talked about badly get angry and jealous, and that's when bullying starts.
It starts with us destroying the self-esteem of a child, and so they're angry at someone who's excelling because they feel bad about themselves. So that is how powerful words are, and bullies are people who don't feel good about themselves. They didn't get the affirmations. That's why they're resentful of other people who might be excelling, because they didn't get that kind of nurturing. And you create a whole dynamic when you have a child in a classroom who is of higher intelligence and younger. Now, I was lucky that I was tall, but then that also can happen if somebody's maybe a little short for their age and they get double promoted and they're making the other students who are not as quick to learn feel inferior, so you get bullying. I mean, that's the dynamic that's created in a classroom where teachers are not aware of how to encourage the students that might not be getting the top grades, but they also, I mean, they should be praised for their efforts and their willingness to try. So before the break, we're going to play this next audio and then talk further about that. And I believe that one was, let's see, it was the one on,
yeah.
The was it judging
power
and criticizing? Secret power of words.
Secret power of words, or words create worlds, or something like that.
Yeah, secret power of words. Take a listen to this.
Infinite life and power. Man possesses, did he but know it, illimitable power. This power is of the spirit, therefore it is unconquerable. It is not the power of the ordinary life, or finite will, or human mind. It transcends these because, being spiritual, it is of a higher order than either physical or even mental. This power lies dormant and is hidden within man until he is sufficiently evolved and unfolded to be entrusted with its use. Thought is a spiritual power of tremendous potency, but this is not the power of which we speak. By thought, man can either raise himself up and connect himself with the powerhouse of the universe, or cut himself off entirely from the divine inflow. His thoughts is his greatest weapon, because by it he can either draw on the infinite or sever himself in consciousness, but not in reality, from his divine source. Through the divine spark within him, which is really his real self, man is connected with the infinite. Divine life and power are his, if he realizes that they are his. So long as he is ignorant of his oneness with the divine source of all life, he is incapable of appropriating the power that is really his. If, however, he enters into this inner knowledge, he finds himself the possessor of infinite power and unlimited resources. This power, then, is God's, yet it is also man's, but it is not revealed to him until he is fit to be entrusted with it. It is only when man realizes his oneness with his divine source that he becomes filled with its power. Many teachers lament the fact that certain secrets are being spread broadcast today, secrets that, in the past, were kept closely guarded. They fear that unilluminated and unevolved people may make destructive use of spiritual power. This, to the writer, appears to be improbable. It is true that strong personalities who have a great belief in their own power to achieve and succeed draw unconsciously on hidden powers, and thus are able to raise themselves high above their fellows. The use, however, that they can make of spiritual power for base purposes is limited and is not to be feared. There are others, of course, who are misusing their powers. These are black magicians, and while they may do a certain amount of harm, they become reduced ultimately to beggary and impotence. There are also others who spend the whole of their spare time searching for knowledge of this very subject. They read every occult book they can lay hands on, but they never find that for which they seek. There are spiritual powers and influences that withhold the eyes of the seekers from seeing until they are ready for the revelation. When man, in his search for truth, has given up all selfish striving after unworthy things, and has ceased to use his self-will in conflict with the greater will of the whole, he is ready for the revelation of his oneness with the infinite.
Facts are higher than ever.
Yielding implicitly to the will of the whole may seem, to the unilluminated, an act of weakness. Yet it is the entrance to a life of almost boundless power. Man is not separate from his divine source and never has been. He is, in reality, one with the infinite. The separation which he feels and experiences is mental and is due to his blindness and unbelief. Man can never be separated from spirit, for he himself is spirit. He is an integral part of one complete whole. He lives and moves and has his being in God, and God dwells in him. The majority of people are unaware of this intimate relationship with the divine. And because they are unaware, or because they refuse to believe it, they are in one sense separated from the inner life of God. Yet his separation is only in their thoughts and beliefs, and not in reality. Man is not separated and never can be. Yet so long as he believes that he is separate and alone, he will be as weak and helpless as though he actually were. As soon as man realizes the truth of his relationship to the infinite, he passes from weakness to power, from death unto life. One moment he's in the desert, afar off, weak, separate, and alone. The next, he realizes that he's nothing less than a son of God, with all a son's privileges and powers. He realizes in a flash that he is one with his divine source, and that he can never be separated. He awakens also to the fact that all the power of the infinite is his to draw upon, that he can never really fail, that he is marching on to victory. It will thus be seen how great is the power of man's thought. While thought is not the power of the spirit, it is the power by which man either connects himself up with the infinite power, opening himself to the divine inflow, or cuts himself off and separates himself from his spiritual source. Thus, in a sense, man is what he thinks he is. If he thinks he is separate from God and cut off from his power, then it is as though this were really the case, and he is just as impotent and miserable as though he actually existed apart from God. On the other hand, if he thinks and believes that he is one with the infinite, he finds that it is gloriously true, and that he is really a son of God. If he believes and thinks that he is a mere material being, then he lives the limited life of a material being, and is never able to rise above it. But if, on the contrary, he thinks and believes that he is a spiritual being, then he finds that he possesses all the powers of a spiritual being. Again, if he thinks that his work is difficult and that he is not equal to his tasks, he finds that really his tasks are difficult and beyond his powers, Yet, on the other hand, if he believes his work is easy, or, at any rate, within his powers, he finds that such is the case, and that he can do his work with ease. The power within is infinite, for, by faith in it, man is directly coupled up with the spiritual power of the universe. The divine spark within him connects him to the sacred flame, thus making him potentially a god in the making. A change, then, must take place within man before he can enter into his divine inheritance. He must learn to think after the spirit, as a spiritual being, instead of after the flesh, as a material creature. Like the prodigal son, he must come to himself and leave the husks and the swine in the far country, returning to his father's house, where there is bread of life enough and to spare. You see, in life, in your life, you have an infinite life, an infinite power, if you connect your spirit to the divine source. This is Dare to Do Motivation. Chapter 1, Infinite Life and Power. Thanks for watching, and stay blessed.
Power of words. We'll be right back after this next break to talk about that. And why is it that we're not teaching this to our children? What makes us believe that we should not tell them they are divine? We'll be right back after this quick break, and we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. And we'll take your call, so hold on. And if you're on our switchboard now and have not pressed 1, press 1 so we can open your mic and get your thoughts. And if you're listening or watching, you can call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 when you're ready to speak so we can open your microphone and get your comments. And we will be right back after this quick break, so stay with us.
Tax are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me, for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willa Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willow.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willow Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 communities. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Hey, I'm
TV on the Higher Learning Network.
Bye. Willie Wilson for...
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. And if you are listening live on Blog Talk Radio and have a comment, feel free to call in 515-605-9325 and press 1. That lets us know that you have something to say. It lights up your number on our switchboard. And if you are watching us on Facebook Live on the Female Solution Facebook page, and we've also shared it, I believe, with our Facebook page. We've shared it with Beata Robinson's Facebook page. So if you're seeing it on any of those pages, feel free to write in your comments. And we've got a comment from our dear sister Zelda Speaks. She says, "Grand writing, beautiful queen teacher. Powerful power is a mind thing. Powerful show." Yes, power. It's in your mind. Yes. And a Facebook user says, "Good morning, and thank you for watching us. We appreciate it." So we're going to take a caller and get some reflections on what we just heard. Area code 773-221, Grand Rising. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts about the power of words and how our beliefs about who we are can change our reality.
Yes, thank you, Sister Naima. You know, in psychology, there's something called maybe reflection. There is false pride, and there's also false humility. I think I'm guilty of false humility. I don't believe I've ever been guilty of false pride. And Bhagwan Ra Africa would always renounce ego. You know, that never set quite right with me because I have a very big ego. Thank you very much. I aspire to be Vice President of the United States alongside my President, Donald J. Trump. So who we are, our self-concept, is all based on the foundation of the very nature of our energy of intention. Nothing is done apart from motive. And I believe in what in China they call social credit scores. Social credit scores, I believe, is based on mandatory Dianetics auditing sessions recorded so that we can assess who is who and what is what ideologically. And that's my thought.
Well, all right. Well, I thank you so much for sharing that thought. And, you know, when you look at one's ego, you have to have a certain amount of belief in yourself to do anything. And if that's been beaten down out of you in childhood, if you, like many of us, like you're saying, you know, the idea of crush your ego, don't think too highly of yourself, that's, wherever that philosophy came from, it's very damaging. Because if you don't think you're worthy of something, you don't strive for it. I remember Oprah Winfrey saying that, you know, when she was building her own network, that voice kept coming to her, who do you think you are? You know, and then you had some people with the attitude because they didn't have the courage to create a TV network. And so they resented her having the courage to do it and criticized her. And when you have somewhere in your past, you've been made to feel small and like nothing, that can be resurrected during a time of challenge when you're trying to do something great. And then people criticize you, like, how dare you? Who do you think you are? And that can make you doubt yourself. So, yes, if whatever person's aspirations are, you can't run for anything unless you believe you're worthy of it. You can't run for public office. You can't establish a business. You can't excel at anything if inside of you you don't believe you're worthy. And if someone has planted that thought in you early in life that you're not worthy, you're not good enough, that's not healthy. And it's not really, as we heard in this audio, that's not really who we are. We are expressions of the creator of the universe. There's nothing more worthy than we can be. So I agree, false modesty, that's not good when you're, you know, supposed to, you know, deface yourself like, oh, I'm nothing. That's not good. That's not uplifting. That's not empowering you. We are powerful beings, and we should know that, and we should affirm that with our speech. And if you're one of those parents who've been telling your children not to feel good or get off your high horse, you're not helping them. That's why, Viata, I'm so excited that we're doing this parenting class, Parenting with Peace. We get a chance to undo a whole lot of damaging habits that parents have had in crushing their children. Teachers, same way. You know, when you think that you're making a child conform to rules, and what you're really doing is crushing their spirit because you don't know how to guide a spirited child in a way that affirms their right to be who they are. Those things, we need to unlearn a lot of bad habits, a lot of hurtful things that we have been taught and we've experienced by people who just didn't know any better. Let me take another call here, and if you are on our switchboard and have a thought, we want you to press 1. And if you're listening online.
I wanted to say the recent shooting of the young 28-year-old rapper in Houston just reminds us and affirms what you just said, how we need to create new teachings for our children, this new generation, because this young man was only 28 years old, and I heard an audio of what was going on at the time he was shot, and all the words were so negative, nigger this, that, and, you know, people screaming at each other. And then you find out that part of the disagreement was over not just money, but material things, like him throwing a chain necklace into the domino game or something like that. So, yeah, we need this on so many levels that we need to re-educate this new generation so that they change their language for one and create in them the divine spirit awareness so they don't speak those words, the N word and the B word, that's not something you want to create in your community, as that woman did. She created a negative situation in her community because of her words. So we have to be reminded of how powerful our words are so that we don't have these same type of tragedies happening to such a young artist.
Yes. And you can imagine someone who's an artist and gifted probably generates a certain amount of jealousy in people that may not have achieved that level of notoriety. So a lot of that is the undercurrent of the violence that's happening even among our very talented, gifted artists. There's jealousy, there's resentment, and like you said, the words that are used that are so negative, putting ourselves down even in the songs, putting down women, making that B word so popular that you know it's an insult because now men are using it at each other and women are using it at men and each other. So what we're saying is so destructive because we don't know that we are an expression of God. We don't know what this great teacher just told us on this audio tape, that we are the power of creation. We're not separate from the Creator. We're not this lowly, sinful, dirty, filthy rag of a person, and then there's God way up here, and we're so separate that we can't even get a prayer through. That's not who we are. We are all a part of the all that is. We are powerful. We are great. We are magnificent. That's who we are, and we are powerful creators. So when our words are negative and insulting, what we create, what we miscreate, is what we saw in the killing of that 28-year-old brilliant young man. That's the power of our words. So let me take another quick call, and then we'll listen to the audio on
judgment.
Judging. Yes. Area code 312671, Grand Rising. Thank you for calling. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts on the power of words.
We are Yashalom. Who are we? Don't die. We multiply. Black is beautiful, and black is black in black love. Unity in the community, and information is a key to success. Education is the best. And once this is Minister Plump, Robert Floyd Plump, Chicago, Illinois. Once any human being, no matter what their race is, black, white, red, brown, or yellow, discover the most important person it is living, then they would discover that they have a relationship with Plump. Peace, love, unity, marketing, people. And that's what we are doing here in Chicago.
We appreciate you for being that positive spark in Chicago. We appreciate all your fantastic work, the prayer services, the meetings. We appreciate everything that you have brought to Chicago and to this platform and reminding people of the positive power of words. We're going to play this next video on judging and criticizing. And thank you, Minister Plump. And, of course, as you know, to participate in all that he does, give him a call, 312-671-2773. Thank you, Minister Plump. Let's take a listen to Judging and Criticizing.
Hey, this is Stefan from ProjectLifeMastery.com, and today I want to talk to you about something that destroys a lot of people's happiness, a lot of people's joy, a lot of people's fulfillment in life. And it's a pattern. It's a pattern that I've observed amongst many people, including myself. I'm not perfect. I'm not better than anyone. I've indulged in a lot of these negative patterns that affected my life, my joy, my happiness. And it's something I want to bring up in this video because I think I could add a lot of value to you and other people today on this and help you make a shift to having more happiness, more fulfillment in your life, which is something that I think that we all really want deep down inside. And the pattern that I'm talking about is a pattern of judgment, judging others, and criticizing others. Now, I think as human beings, it could be natural to judge other people, right? And oftentimes, a lot of this comes up in our head. You might be, for example, walking down the street or see other people and observe other people, but you might have these negative thoughts come up in your mind. You might be thinking, for example, You might see someone and judge them on how they look or how they dress, or you might judge them for being overweight or underweight, or you might judge them for how they sound. You know, you might be watching me right now in this video and judging me on how I sound or how I talk or how I dress or communicate or whatever it might be. You might judge someone else on their behavior, you know, what they're doing or what they did. You might judge them, you know, whether, on, you know, for example, I was talking to a client of mine the other day and, you know, other people that are on the road that you're driving with, right? Maybe someone cuts you off or someone's a slow driver or a fast driver and you judge them for that, right? You have this energy, these thoughts that come up and you criticize them for that behavior. It might be how other people are living their life. You might judge and criticize other people for not being as healthy as you are or not, you know, some of the decisions that they make and think, oh, why would they do that? Or, you know, maybe that person meets another human being and they get married to that person within 3 months and you judge them and you think that they're stupid and idiots for making that decision so fast. It's not going to work out. I don't know what it is. I'm just giving you guys some examples, but it's judging other people. And I think what you got to understand is that where this comes from is your ego. Okay. That's all it really is. Your ego, which thrives off of significance and feeling like you're more superior than someone else. Because when you're judging another human being and you're criticizing them, you're essentially putting them down and you're elevating yourself. You're making yourself feel better about yourself. And you think, well, you know, that person's overweight or that person dresses, you know, in a very eccentric way and has too many tattoos and piercings and they're, you know, you judge them for that or you judge them for whatever it is. But essentially what that's doing is making you feel better about yourself. It's elevating yourself, which really stems from insecurity and is really a projection of your own unhappiness and lack of fulfillment in your life. I really want you to understand that, that when you judge and criticize other people, you're not happy. Because I've met a lot of happy people because I've studied happiness. The happiest people that I know, they never judge, they never criticize, they just love everyone. They're just so, they're so happy, they're so overflowing with joy and happiness in their life. They want to bring everyone up. They want to make everyone else feel better. It's not about them. It's about serving others and amplifying how they feel, and they exude that positivity, that joy, that happiness. It's contagious. It's infectious to everyone else around them. And maybe you know someone like that in your life that just is just so happy in that way. But also maybe you know someone that when you're around them, you know, you feel like they're judging you or criticizing you in some way, and you don't feel good about that, right? It affects your relationship with other people as well. So have that awareness, number one. Have the awareness of, number one, are you judging other people? Are you criticizing them? And oftentimes people do that in their head. You know, you might have these negative thoughts that come up. Have that awareness of it, that that's just the ego that's coming up that makes, that wants you to feel like you're better than everyone else, or that your way is the right way, or that you know everything and, you know, this is what's right and this is what's wrong. And of course we know that life isn't that simple. There's many ways of doing things. And I have the spiritual belief that as human beings, you know, we're all equal. We're all brothers and sisters on this planet. We're all part of the same humanity. And ultimately, yes, everyone looks different and has different behaviors, but people are not their behaviors. People are not how they decide to dress or how they decide to look or what they decide to do or how they live their life. That human beings were more than that. We're spiritual beings. And I could go on and on about spiritual. Maybe we'll talk about that in another video, but I'll give you guys a bit of a solution, something that you guys can help you guys with that. I'll share that with you guys a little bit later on in this video. But number one, have that awareness, okay? Are you judging? Are you criticizing? Number two, understand that this is stealing and you're cheating yourself of your own happiness and joy. Because what I also want you to understand is that when you judge and you criticize other people, I can promise you that you judge and criticize yourself much harsher. And really, it's really unfair to judge someone else because we've all made mistakes. We've all screwed up. We've all, you know, done silly and stupid things that if you get yourself out of your own world for a moment and step into someone else's shoes, you can have a better level of awareness and understanding and compassion for another human being. How could you judge someone else for making that decision, maybe buying something or eating that junk food or whatever it is, when we both know you've also done that yourself? Right? You've indulged, maybe not to the same extent or degree, but you've also maybe done something that other people have disagreed with or things that have been mistakes, right? And so again, understand that you can't really judge. It's not fair to you because you've also made mistakes. No one's perfect. And I think also the judgment and criticizing other people comes from a perfectionist mentality, which is part of the ego as well, where we have to be perfect. And when you have a perfectionist mentality about yourself, you project that to other people and you expect other people to also be perfect, other people also to be a certain way because you believe that your way is the right way, right? And again, time and time again, but I can take that trail and lead it always back to an insecure person and someone who deep down inside is not happy and fulfilled with their own life. So understand, when you judge, when you criticize, when you point the finger at someone else, you've always got three other fingers pointing back at you. And you better make sure that if you do point the finger at someone else, that your hand is clean. And no human being, again, has never made any mistakes. So what's the solution to this? How do you overcome this pattern? And this is something I've worked on a lot in my life. And it's really helped me become more loving, more happy, changed my entire life, guys. I can't even begin to tell you. And I'm not sure if everyone's open to this or not, you know, because sometimes, you know, on the internet, there's always people that are haters and critics and negative. And, you know, my solution to this and my solution to dealing with people like that is understand, I'm not going to judge them for that. That's what I used to do. I used to think, oh, these people are idiots and they're unhappy and they're unfulfilled. I don't have, because again, that's the ego coming up. If I start to judge other people and think, well, they, you know, they're criticizing, so they're unhappy in their life, that's still making me feel better about myself, making me feel more superior, because that's the ego coming up again. So what I do instead is whenever I deal with someone like that, or even when I have these thoughts come up for myself, what I always try to do is my trigger is to always send love. Send love, because love is the ultimate emotion, the ultimate spiritual emotion in life. I think that we're beings of love. I think our Creator unconditionally loves us. And I think that love is you know, one of the ultimate solutions in life to peace and harmony and happiness and well-being. And so other people, you know, if I catch myself, I just send them love. I just either put my hand on my heart and just send them energy and love. Oftentimes in my head, I'll interrupt my pattern and just say, I love you. I love you. And if I catch myself, okay, that person's, you know, acting a little bit funny, or maybe they're a homeless person, and, you know, I might catch myself judging them for something. You know, I remember, for example, at one point, I'll share some stories with you guys. I used to see these homeless people, and they would, you know, ask for money, ask for change, but then they'd end up going and buy drugs with it or buy alcohol with it. And sometimes these homeless people, too, they would have, you know, it's like they'd be homeless, but they would do certain things that I felt just weren't really fair. You know, for example, some homeless people would kind of lie or make up things just to be able to get some money or exaggerate it. You know, some homeless people would even have a dog and a pet. And I think to myself, well, how would I start judging them for that and think, you know, that person, you know, why are people, you know, why are they doing this? Why are they why are they lying, deceiving people in this way? Or they have a dog, but they can't even take care of themselves. But instead, I'd catch myself and realize, you know what? No one's perfect. You know, everyone has their experiences of life, and I've never been in that experience where that person's been in their life, so I can't really, you know, I can't really judge that person for that. So instead, what I do, I just send them love, and I'll just, in my mind, whenever that comes up, I love you. I love your brother. I love your sister, because again, I believe that human beings, we're all brothers and sisters. We're all related. We're all connected in some way. I remember, you know, I used to judge people. I used to, at one point in my life, be a strict raw foodist and vegetarian diet for about almost a year or so. And I was really into it. And I remember I used to judge other people for eating animals or eating unhealthy. I'd go to the grocery store, right, and see someone, you know, buying dairy products and meats and all these unhealthy foods, and they'd be overweight. And I start judging them for it. But again, that's my ego coming up. My ego wanting to feel more significant and better than the other person, or believing that my way is the right way. So instead, I would just send them love. You know, I love you. And you know, I think that's the most important thing. It's not about being right. You know, as the saying goes, you can either be right or you could be happy. You could be right, or you could be in love. And, you know, it's letting go of that need of being right, which again is the ego. You know, oftentimes they bring that up in relationships, right? Oftentimes couples, they fight, and you got to ask yourself, do I want to be right in my relationship and have the ego win and have that selfish victory? Or am I more committed to the well-being, the harmony of the relationship, and would I rather be in love? And I don't know about you guys, but I'd rather be in love. I think there's a great quote by Martin Luther King. He said that I choose love because hate is far too much of a burden to bear. And I choose love. Hopefully you decide to choose love in your life and happiness. And just send love, guys. Send love. You know, one exercise you can do if you want something practical, walk down the street. I do this all the time. It's a lot of fun. Walk down the street. You know, people are passing you by. Every person that you see, just in your mind, just send them love. Just say, I love you. Look them in the eyes, I love you. They're going to walk past you, they're probably not even going to notice you. But next person to walk by, I love you. Next person that walks by, just say, I love you. Just say that in your mind. You don't have to say it verbally. You don't have to say it out loud, but just in your mind. Because what happens is when you give love, you also feel it. You feel it inside yourself. When you give to others, you're also practicing the abundance mindset, where you realize that there's more than enough. There's more than enough. You're not threatened by anyone. You're not insecure. You're coming from a higher level place, a place of a higher level of consciousness in your life. And I think if you can do that, number one, I mean, not only does it change your life, your happiness, your joy, because you also got to understand there's physical consequences of judging and hating and criticizing, because it makes you more stressed. It makes you more reactionary. It feeds into the insecurity. Your cortisol goes up. You store more fat. It's not good for your health. It's just not good for anyone, right? Oftentimes, negative comments, you know, it can hurt someone else. Other people, maybe they haven't practiced self-development. They don't have a lot of confidence. So you're also part of the problem in the world, the problem of hate and negativity for other human beings in the world, and you're supporting that instead of being a solution to it. So when you decide to live your life with love and happiness, and no one's perfect, you're not going to get this right away, but just be aware of this and try to be proactive with loving and giving to other people and living in happiness. When you do, it will not only change your life, but also your relationships with other people. I believe energetically we send energy to other human beings. There's a ripple effect that occurs. The more that you give, the more you serve other. It's like almost like a karmic effect. I don't know if you believe in that or not, but it just makes the world a better place. And oftentimes when you're more in that place, you're going to compliment other people. You're going to praise them. You're going to encourage them. And you know what? They're going to reciprocate that back to you. And you're going to attract a higher level people and beings in your life that are more on this also happy and cheerful as well. So that's my encouragement for you guys. That's my advice for you. And hopefully this can help a lot of you guys in your lives, is to be a force for good in life. Be a cheerleader. Be a fountain, not a drain. And practice just giving, serving other people. You know, I'll give you one more thing. You know, I was talking to someone the other day, and I put out a great video on my channel about scarcity versus abundance. If you haven't watched that video, I highly recommend that you check it out. But one person expressed to me they have a scarcity mentality on social media, where they see their other friends and other people in their life doing these certain things, and they never like their photos, right? Like on Instagram, they never like, you know, because, and they express, you know, part of it for them internally is they feel insignificant. They don't want that person doing better than them. They don't want to praise that person, encourage them, because the more successful they become, the more they feel insecure and jealous. And again, that's all insecurity. You got to recognize that. That's all scarcity mentality. And so the practice that I had for that person, again, giving love, but I mean, if you can, you know, express it, the better. So I said to him, listen, on your Instagram or social, I want you to like everyone. Like what, you know, don't judge them. Don't be insecure or threatened by it. Like them. Like, double tap their photos and hit the thumbs up button on their videos, and encourage them. Support other people. Be that person. Because I can promise you, when you are that person, you're going to get more that comes back to you. More people are going to support you and love you as well. And you're going to get more of what you want in your life. Now, I remember hearing this, I'll wrap this up soon, but hearing this story or this is a good truth, that some people, they see someone that's rich or more successful, more attractive, more beautiful, they judge and they hate that person just because of the money they have or the success or the car they drive or their looks or their body or whatever it is, right? Just that what that symbolizes makes them feel threatened and insecure. Here's the thing, though, guys. If you're like that, if you judge and criticize other people that are more successful than you, that have what you want, you will never have that. Never. Because you're creating associating pain to having what you want. You know, you're basically taking someone that's successful and putting them down and criticizing them and judging them and feeling insecure and jealous for that and disliking them for that. You're not going to be able to attract that in your life. Instead, you have to bless that which you want. Bless, when you see someone else that's more successful than you, that's wealthier than you, that's happier than you, bless them. Because I can guarantee you're going to attract that in your life at a much different level than you hating on that. Okay? That's a different mentality. That's the abundance mindset. All right? So I gave you some practical things, so hopefully it can help you guys. But, you know, it's a work in progress. Have that awareness, number one. Practice love. Sending love, guys. Again, love is the ultimate. I love you guys. I don't even know many of you, but I love you. You know, I don't need to know you to love you, to send my love, my energy towards you. You know, I love you just for being here and watching me, and even if you don't like me, I still love you. You know, because I don't believe that people aren't their behaviors. They're more than that. And I believe that deep down, every human being is good. Every human being has at least a side of them that's good and pure. And, you know, I try to bless every human being. So, bless you guys. Thank you for watching this video. If you enjoyed it, make sure that you hit the thumbs up and leave a comment. Let me know what you guys think, and I'll see you guys in the next video. Take care.
Wow.
Yeah, I see, I needed that more than anybody. I don't know.
that was powerful. And all of us have been guilty of judgment.
Wow. I know we have to go to break, but I want to just say in relation to that teaching, that was, for me, a really important teaching, because I've been a perfectionist on most of my life because of all the criticism I think I got as a child.
That's,
I was like, perfectionist. Everything has to be perfect. I have to do this. But, you know, this thing with Kanye West has been a big wake-up for me, because I saw so much criticism going against him, and then now I see the media is on a campaign to create fear and division with the word anti-Semitism, because now we got Kyrie Irving being attacked, and anti-Semitism is a term that is so overused, but they're using it as a weapon to keep people in control and in fear and in division. So I heard from Spirit real clearly one day that said, Kanye or Ye is your son. I'm like, okay. And I'm like, and the Spirit was saying, you need to pray for him like you do your other two sons. And I'm like, okay. And then I realized, Naima and listeners, my sons are so imperfect with their alcohol drinking, with all the things they do, but they're beautiful, beautiful teachers for me. And so I have put in line with my two sons, praying for them all every day. And just like that guy was teaching just now, I have been so blessed to shift my judgment and my criticism and my perfectionist attitude to praying for people who are being just crucified, like Ye and now Kyrie Irving. And I'm being blessed in return in a big way. I mean, this job was a big blessing that I've had for the last 2 weeks. And just being outside and then learning about the trees. So I can't even share all the blessings I've gotten in the last just 2 or 3 weeks. When I shifted my judgment and my criticism and started praying for someone who looks just like my youngest son. Yeah, Kanye West is a twin, or my son is a twin of Kanye West. So it was kind of easy for me to see, oh, yeah, okay, he's my son. Oh, yeah, I'm going to pray for him every day. I don't care what he does. And that's what helped me. So I had to just give you that testimony. That's what helped me. I am truly, truly blessed having made that shift in my life.
Yes, and we all have to make that shift and realize that whatever a person is, they're perfect just as they are. They're a perfect expression of the Creator. And just because they're different doesn't make it wrong. It's just different. And when we have grown up with extreme criticism, then that's what makes us become perfectionists, because we're always trying to avoid the hurt of the criticism. So if I do everything right, then I won't have this awful feeling of being told how much of a failure I am. That's very painful. So we've spent our whole lives trying to avoid pain. That's what that drive for perfectionism is. And, of course, we're our greatest critic. We're the ones that beat ourselves up if we forget something, if we're late to something, if we misplace something. We're the ones that beat ourselves up because it's that voice that raised us, that voice in our head that's from the parents that beat us down because probably their parents beat them down because probably their parents beat them down. So we have this generational habit of crushing the spirit in a person because that's what we think we're supposed to do, to make them better. We don't know any better. That's the wrong thing to do. The thing to do is to love and bless and play and pray for and encourage and praise and support. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back and take some more of your comments. And those who are on our switchboard, we'll open your mic again, see if you've got some reflections based on what we now know. What will you do differently, maybe even in the relationships that you have with people that you may have criticized or may have, in your good intentions, said hurtful things? We'll talk about that when we come back. So if you are on our switchboard, press 1 now so we can get your comments, and we'll be right back after this quick break. So stay with us.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed into the swing of things? Well, don't worry. You are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
If you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant, our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of ourselves, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about self, cell care, from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
That's hard for some people to accept, especially if you don't believe in reincarnation. you don't believe you had a past life where you created some of the drama you're in today, if you don't believe that you chose your parents, then you're going to struggle with trying to understand why this is happening to me, being a victim. You know, it's like the slave trade, and realizing the truth that's coming out nowadays is just coming at warp speed, it seems like, because we're learning that the African people played a major role in abusing their own people, and so that created karma for generations. And then the fact that the slave trade didn't take place the way some people believe it took place. And so many of us have been here on this Turtle Island, as Kwame always points out. And so we created a lot of our karma by the way we treated other tribes. So until we develop this higher understanding and wisdom of what's going on right now, then we're going to be struggling and play the victim role. And that's not healthy either. So it's a choice that we all have to choose a higher thought. As the earlier message was, you are divine. Everything happening is in divine order. Work with it and make your choices to improve your health and everything. Otherwise, I'm here to just learn lessons from all the people who don't want to change. I'm done trying to change people who are stuck. And just watching and observing the lessons that they're teaching me. And one of them has been to stop judging, stop criticizing, and just be the light that I'm here to be.
Absolutely. Well, as you said, you know, this is not our only life. So everybody's going to get to that point of enlightenment, but it might not be in this life. But everything that you learn is cumulative. So what you learn in this life, you do take with you the next go-round. And eventually you graduate from the Earth School. When you learn how to be this
yes.
loving, accepting human being, this forgiving human being, where you do, as this gentleman said, you love everybody, that's when you reach the point of graduation. So you gave yourself
yeah.
challenges to overcome to get you to that point where you could graduate from the Earth School, where you learn about love
yeah.
by experiencing not love. So you gave yourself not loving parents so that you could learn forgiveness and you could learn acceptance
yep.
and you could learn self-love that has to come from within you because it's not coming from those people. So we gave ourselves
yes.
all of these challenges that we wanted to overcome in order to learn the lessons that would empower us to be the loving that our soul is striving us to be. And that's the game of Earth. Learn how to love.
Yep.
Being in a place where there is not love.
And when I play, you know, when I play chess with my grandson, Naima, that's part of the lesson, what you just expressed there, is even though my opponent is taking all my pawns, I'm like, I never like this. And my grandson really demonstrates this really well. When I start taking more of his pieces, he gets angry. He has a hard time loving me when I'm taking his pieces. And then when you get to checkmate, he really gets upset. He'll sometimes just throw all the pieces on the floor because he doesn't like losing in this game. And that's another
yeah.
lesson, Naima, in our peace school. We need to teach people how to lose well. Loving your partner, loving your opposition, even when you're losing. Because you're
yes.
going to learn something from this.
Right.
So
they're making you a better player.
Yes.
I mean, that's
yes.
the thing. When you can see an opponent as somebody who's helping you to become better, if you're running on
yes.
a track, you want somebody who's
yes.
faster than you because they're going to make you strive harder. So that's a
right.
good thing. That's the thing with sportsmanship is that you are appreciating the excellence of your opponent because they're making you better. And that's a whole different
yes.
attitude than them up after the game because they won and you lost. You know that. So
yeah.
Yeah. We have to tease. Well, we got a caller online. I believe it's Mama AZ at 336-350 Grand Rising. Thank you so much for joining us. Give us your wisdom in these last moments we have on the show.
Grand Rising, Dr. Lateef. Dr. V, I was on the other line with my brother for a moment, and I'm just giving thanks no matter what's going on. I told him, I said, you know what, Bobby? I says, I'm looking at our mom right now, and if it had not been for the strength on some level of my mom and my dad, even though we had helter-skelter, this, that, and the other, it was crazy because they loved their alcohol, and they were Indian. And I need to not say any more. However, if my mom, Maddie Paris Cunningham, if she had not allowed me to come through her gate, and I chose this, I would not have the bounty of being connected to you sisters and all of the listening audiences, the Brother Kwame Sunhorses and all of the ones who have made my life grounded and interesting. Thank
you. Oh, yes. Look what a powerful teacher you have become as a result of your experiences. You could not have gained this wisdom if you had not had these experiences. So look at what a powerful influence you have been on the world.
Thank us.
Thank us.
Have a wonderful day. Have a wonderful day, family.
Thank you, sister. Love you so much. And I love you so much more than anything for your lessons that you've taught me and the times that we've had together. You know, the two times that I have visited Mama AZ in Arizona have been just memories that I will cherish for all my life because Mama AZ is such a unique and special spirit. So thank you over and over again for all that you are and all that you do in this life.
Sisters, get ready. My daughter is here from Georgia, and this is another show, but she's going to take me to Miracle Valley to have prayer. So, Dr. Lateef, Dr. V, I'm telling y'all, I'm asking you, let's do a documentary because something is getting ready to happen, and I feel it, and it needs to be documented. Thank us.
Thank us. Oh. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, the world is changing because people are becoming enlightened. I believe, as a matter of fact, I got a call from my dear sister, Cheryl, from HWPL, Cheryl Jones, and they just had 100,000 people that are graduating from a seminary program that they work with. Meaning the 100,000 people around the world that have awakened to the goal of world peace and harmony amongst all humanity. And the numbers are growing. So the scale is tipping. Those of us who are aware, the thing that we must do now is not criticize, not judge. Wherever they are on their spiritual journey, love them anyway, and the love will even help them grow that much faster because we will shine the light and they can see what love looks like. That's why we're here.
That's right. Hallelujah. Thank us.
Hallelujah. Thank us. So thank you all, and thank you, Viata, for another powerful show. We appreciate so much.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Xiexie. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, Madasi, Nigeria, Eshe, South Africa, Ngiyabonga, Senegal, Jeret, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakor, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.